Welcome once again to the Bible study program from 1 to 1:15 each weekday afternoon. This week we'll be continuing our little mini-series on Elijah and Elisha. Let's look first to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come into your presence. We thank you for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you would guide us and lead us in our lives that we might walk holy and righteous before you. Help us as we need your guidance day by day, moment by moment. Father, we pray for any lost souls who are listening, that this word may pierce their heart by the convicting power of your Spirit. We just pray in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Kings and 2 Kings has been the text that we've been looking at as we pick up again this week in this little mini-series in the study of Elijah and Elisha. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 1. We could call the message today and through the rest of the week, prepare to meet your God. As we look back at the last time we were together, we remember chapter 21 of 1 Kings. We saw Naboth in his vineyard. We could call that prepare for the inheritance, since we shall all give account. Now in chapter 1 of 2 Kings, we could say prepare for the message. This is the submitting of your souls. That's our message for today. And Lord willing, we may look at prepare for the departure, which would be chapter 2, when we see Elijah caught up in the whirlwind. But today, prepare to meet your God. Prepare for the message. Preparation. Let's think of schooling, school years, when we prepare as young girls and boys for our adult life. We think of military training. Think of preparing for battle. Think of the Olympics coming up in a few weeks in Atlanta. We think of athletes preparing for competition. We think of schooling, again, as preparing for the stress and the grind of day-to-day business when you become an adult, making ends meet. We think of preparation. We think of that military man as he's going out. He wants to survive. He wants victory as he prepares for that time of battle. And the athletes that we mentioned, we think of them as they're tested against a well-trained opposition, an opponent looking to win the gold, as they say in the Olympics. But when we think of preparation in the spiritual realm, think of Elijah. Remember, this is the man that said, speaking of his Lord, before whom I stand. He stood in the presence of the Lord. He was a man of prayer. This is what Elijah considered preparation, a time of prayer, a time alone with God. So when we think of Elijah and his preparation, 2 Kings, let's read here, chapter 1, first 16 verses. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahijah fell through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, Go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there is not a god in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, Why are ye now turned back? And they said unto him, There came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, Go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Is it not because there is not a god in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. And he said unto them, What manner of man was he which came up to meet you, and he told you these words? And they answered him, He was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, It is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on top of an hill. And he spake unto him, Thou art man of God? The king hath said, Come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Now, we'll stop there for the moment. Verses 11 on down to 13, we see how it was repeated with another group of 50. Then in chapter 1, verse 13, we see how the third group came, a captain and his 50, and this man had a totally different attitude. He fell before Elijah upon his knees, and he cried out for mercy. So let's back up, look at the beginning of the chapter, and notice the message here. We see this is the final message for the king Ahijah, as he is near his death. He's on his deathbed. And we could say it's the final message of this man Elijah, the man of God, as he's about to be taken up in the whirlwind and to pass the mantle on to Elisha. But when we think of the final message, a final message before our departure, think of how God has stated at the very beginning of the Word of God, he said, come. There at Noah's Ark, he said, come into the ark. And those that were in the ark were safe from the wrath to come, from the judgment waters. And then at the very end of the Word of God, in Revelation 22, he says again, come. Come. One final invitation. From the beginning to the end of the Word of God, he says, come. I would ask you today, is there one here that has not yielded to this invitation to come? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, saith the Lord. Now, we think of the message here brought from Elijah to this king. It was a message of condemnation. Notice he says in verse 4, thou shalt surely die. You know, over there in 2 Corinthians, we see there in verses 15 and 16, when we give the message of the Word of God, it says this, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life. We realize that when we give out the Scripture, that sometimes it's a message of condemnation because ones will reject the Word of God. And to others, we are planting or watering the good ground when they receive the Word in their hearts. So give out the Word. It may seem what's the use sometimes, because ones don't receive the Word and don't seem to come to the Lord. But remember, salvation is of the Lord. We're merely a messenger. But we give the Word to those that it turns into a word of condemnation, for they reject it. And some we give the Word to those that receive it, and it's a word unto life. So it's not vanity giving out the Word of God. Now, we also could go on further and say the king had been turning to a false god here. He's on his deathbed, and he turns to a false god. You know, I think of a missionary that was in our home recently, spoke of how in Zaire, ones that would profess the Lord, and yet whenever they get in difficulties, they'd go back, some of them, to the witch doctor, and that would show where their heart really was. When they had a time of trial, they would turn back to the witch doctor. Now, here in America, that may not be exactly the case, but we can think of how ones say they're right with God, that they say that they trust in the Lord. But whenever times get tough, the Lord is not upon their heart. They'll go back to trusting in themselves or trusting in whatever means, anything but the Lord. Do you know Him? Test yourself whether you be in the faith. Are you grounded and settled in Him? You know, we could also think a little bit about the messenger himself here in chapter 1. We think of verse 7 where the king asked, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? This word of condemnation, the king wanted to know, what manner of man was it that brought this to you? Well, we think of how in 1 Kings chapter 17, there after the juniper tree, we see at the end of that chapter, I'm not speaking of the juniper tree, but rather after the son of this widow was revived, the miracle was performed there by the hand of Elijah, by the Lord himself, we should say, the power of God. This woman then said, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth, is truth." John 17:17 tells us, "Thy word is truth." She realized that Elijah truly was a man of God. This makes me think of the New Testament, where Peter was confronted with, "Who do you say that I am?" the Lord said to him. Others had said that he was Elijah or John the Baptist. But when Peter himself was asked, "Who do you say that I am?" he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Who do you say that this one Christ is? What manner of man is he? He's the Lord. He's the Savior. He's God, manifest in the flesh. Now, when we go on a little further in chapter 1, we see the meetings. Notice there's four groups of people that heard what Elijah had to say. There was the king, and there was three captains with their 50s, their group of 50s. So this was four different parties that heard the word, the message from Elijah, but only one of these four received the message. One died on his bed, the king. Two groups of 50 with their captain was consumed by fire. But one received the message. Notice, three groups said, "Come down to the king." One said, "Have mercy on me," was the attitude. He fell upon his knees. Notice in verse 13, he said, "O man of God, I pray thee." The other said, "Come down." He said, "I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight." Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. You know, we can say, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. We can say that he does count us precious. Our souls are precious to him. There's joy in heaven when one soul repents. I think of the publican that said, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." We can say we love him because he first loved us. So my exhortation today, as we've looked at Elijah with his final message, we've seen how the fire came down from heaven and consumed those that rejected, that would not seek the truth of the word. But then there was this one captain who spoke on behalf of his 50 that were with him, and he said, "Have count us precious in thy sight." He was crying out for mercy. He believed the word of Elijah. My friend, do you believe the word of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you as Peter that says, "Thou art the Christ"? When Christ asked them one time, when others that had followed decided they could no longer follow him, he said to the disciples, "Will you also stop following me?" And Peter said, "Lord, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life." Is that your attitude toward that one, Jesus Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has the words of eternal life. We trust that those that know him will rejoice in this message brought by a messenger, which was a man of God. And we would say, if there's one lost soul or more listening today, turn to the one, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has the words of eternal life. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life." This is the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. Join us tomorrow.